Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano Show. Welcome in, everyone. Great stuff. Kudos to Joe and sort of an assist from Dan. Saturday Night Live characters is our side question of day. We have tickets, family four-pack, best one to send you to the auto show. So far, I don't detect a clear winner. So there's so many you can get in.
They're all so good.
And hit us. Yeah, they've been very, very good. All right, Joe, Feasterville came up here again. I don't know why. You may want to excise that.
He's not in Feasterville today.
I know. There's a bug in here, though, that forces Feasterville to come up here. Senator Pat Toomey's with us on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Senator, welcome in. And I don't know, somebody's stalking you in Feasterville.
Oh, is that right?
Every time you come up back on the show, Feasterville pops up on our city here. I'm not sure why.
All right. I cannot explain that, Dom, but it's good to be with you.
Same to be here. Well, let me ask you the burning question. Why would someone as effective as you come up with this idea of a trade, one for one with Bolton, et cetera, inside your caucus? Listeners are upset about that because it gives aid and comfort to those who just want to draw this thing out forever.
So first of all, Dom, why do you believe that any such thing happened?
Okay, tell us.
This is the New York Times that comes out and completely mischaracterizes a private conversation that I was having, and the gist of it was not to propose and advocate for that. The gist of my message was, it is not reasonable, and we should not agree to an arrangement where John Bolton comes in as a witness, and if there is going to be any witnesses, and John Bolton is among them, then Joe Biden has to be in that mix. Because the corruption at Burisma is at the heart of this dispute. And if we're going to go down that road, then we absolutely need to explore the role that the Bidens had with that firm. So that was my message. And
all right. They've given you an opportunity to clarify that, because it's in a lot of news sources that this was a proposal to break the logjam here. You're saying that's absolutely false. There's none of that.
It's a mischaracterization, Dom. The bottom line, and what I've said all along about witnesses, is there's, you don't have a witness in because you think you might have something interesting to say, mm-hmm. and you might have a nice conversation. The purpose of a witness is to provide clarity about a fact that's in dispute, if that fact is so important that it could change the outcome of your decision. I have yet to see any suggestion, any evidence that that's going to happen. I don't know of any witness that's going to change my view on the facts or whether they rise to the level of an impeachable offense. I have yet to see an impeachable offense. And that's the most important consideration for me.
Okay. It seems to be for, what is the consideration for your colleagues? I know you can't be inside their mind then, that we're hearing back and forth. Will there be 3-4 vote for witnesses? Is it that it looks bad potentially to voters? This argument, well, you guys didn't want to hear what Bolton had to say because he's the one with the actual goods on President Trump.
Look, I think that's probably a factor for some folks. The other thing that is a factor is the defense lawyers have spent a lot of time and energy insisting that there never was a quid pro quo. And here you have a guy who claims to have, at least it's reported in the New York Times, mm-hmm. that he is claiming to have firsthand interaction with the president, that there was a quid pro quo. So there's a factual dispute there, and some may be thinking, well, let's get some clarity on that. For me, I think you look at the articles of impeachment themselves. Look at the big picture here. The allegations against the president do not rise to impeachable offenses. You can't impeach a person, in my view, for defending their constitutional rights. Like, the whole Article 2 is outrageous, right? They issue an invalid subpoena. The president says, okay, but what, guys, this is not a valid subpoena. We're not going to comply with an illegal subpoena. And they say, oh, okay, we'll impeach you then. That's outrageous, right? That would be like if the police came into your studio right now and arrested you, Dom, and said you're under arrest for a burglary that just occurred 5 minutes ago in Pittsburgh at a bank. And you say, well wait a minute, I didn't do that. I'm going to insist on a trial. They say, oh, you want a trial, do you? Well, we're going to charge you with obstruction of justice then. I mean, how ridiculous is that, right? Of course you're entitled to a trial. And of course the president is entitled to the House process actually following the law, which they didn't. So, you know, that's just outrageous. Then you have in Article 1, one of their allegations is the president had a meeting with the president of Ukraine, President Trump, met with the president of Ukraine in New York instead of in Washington. And so we're going to impeach him. I mean, how ridiculous can you get?
So the idea is to, in the end, you know, whatever people want to say about this is messy or he did this or didn't do this, it's petty. It doesn't rise to the level of impeachment, which ought to be, for everybody's sake, coming up. That's the biggest argument. The media, rejects this. They just think any of this stuff rises to that level because, you know, their agenda.
And you know, I've said, look, the call was not a perfect call in my mind. I know the president says it was. I don't agree. I think it would have been better had he not mentioned the Bidens. But the case that the House is making is that there is absolutely zero chance that there was any consideration in the president's mind when he asked for that investigation other than his own personal corrupt political interest. And I think that is ridiculous when you consider how corrupt Burisma was, the fact that Hunter Biden is getting paid $1 million a year with obviously no qualifications whatsoever to even be there. And his father, meanwhile, is the administration's point man on corruption in Ukraine. So, you know, maybe there's nothing there. Maybe that oligarch was just a real dumb guy and didn't mind burning up $1 million a year for a guy who adds no value. Maybe that's the real story here. But to me, it looks like it's probably worth a look when you're trying to rout out corruption in a country where we're sending them, you know, almost $500 million a year. And so to suggest that the president couldn't possibly have been considering that is ridiculous. And that's the heart of the Democrats' case.
Exactly.
And so that's why I say, Dom, you know, what a witness or two or 20 witnesses could, what light they might shed on one thing or another doesn't change this fundamental dynamic that we do not have. We do not have impeachable offenses here.
Another vote that's come up because we saw the big signing the other day, and you have talked about this a little bit before in some detail with me, is the USMCA, the trade deal that the argument is, and the argument I would make, all right, it's not perfect, but Democrats got some of what they wanted, but this is going to be very helpful. There must be something then that you see that's not worthy of a compromise here.
Yeah, well, first of all, what's going to be helpful? There's very, very little. There's a little bit, right? The agreement does codify existing practices. So right now, we don't have obstructions to trade in the digital economy. Mm-hmm. So you can download data, you can sell data, and there are not obstacles. That's a good practice. That is the current practice. And now this agreement codifies that practice. That's good. That's nice. Nothing wrong with that. The problem is that's not what this agreement was all about. What the agreement was all about is creating obstacles to the export of autos and auto parts from Mexico into the United States. It's about restricting trade. It's got a sunset provision that makes the whole thing expire, so we jeopardize the entire trading architecture between the United States, Mexico, and Canada at the end of this period. They completely eliminate the mechanism that we've had in place to resolve disputes for investors, which is very, very helpful to American investment. And there's a huge, huge, huge giveaway to Nancy Pelosi and company. We're spending $800 million of taxpayer money to enforce a whole new bunch of laws that we made the Mexicans pass about unionizing their workforce. This is not our business, and our taxpayer money shouldn't be going to this purpose. And by the way, it will be used for nefarious purposes by U.S. Negotiating entities over time, I'm convinced. So, look, it's It's not the end of the world. It's not going to, I've never suggested it's going to ruin the economy or anything of the sort. But it's moving trade in the wrong direction if you believe in free trade as I do.
All right. And people would say you're an outlier at this point on
Correct.
This. Because you're the only Republican that I know, and I'm looking at my stuff here, but I believe the only Republican
that
voted
correct.
Against this. And that means yep. Pat Toomey is still a club for growth and all that stuff. How do you respond to this? How do we move the ball forward for the
Look,
American worker?
I don't, because you do it with freer trade. Dom, as we have gotten freer trade, we've had more prosperity. We have freer trade than most of the rest of the world, and guess what? We have a higher standard of living than the rest of the world. We've had a trade deficit for the last 40 years. Germany's had a trade surplus, mm-hmm. and we have a higher standard of living. We live in nicer homes. We have more cars. We have higher wages. We live better than the average German does. So I'm not convinced that by adopting their protectionist policies, we're somehow going to be better off. That's not what the data shows. That's not what history shows. So I don't apologize for being in favor of opening up markets and having more trade, not less. We win. Our exports to Mexico have quintupled since we signed NAFTA, 500% increase. That's Pennsylvania exports.
But Senator, in Pennsylvania,
yeah.
where you are, and you know this better than I because you travel across the state, you have these generations now of people that have been left behind. I think NAFTA was part of the reason for that. Tremendous numbers of people in towns that you, to your credit, visit and try to find solutions to it. This is one of the reasons that Trump was elected. He appealed to these people.
The vast majority of the employment decline in these industries are from automation, not from trade, Dom. The vast majority of it is you go to a factory today, anywhere in Pennsylvania or America, and if it's a successful, thriving business, there's a lot of robots doing an awful lot of repetitive mm-hmm. things that used to be done by people. So we produce our total manufacturing output is at an all-time high. We're doing it with far fewer people because we've got so much automation. And on the margin, sometimes trade does do more of that also, but it gets swamped by the opportunities to export and what we can sell. Like I said, Pennsylvania, we've quintupled our exports to Mexico. 500% increase. That's a lot.
So
there's a lot
is
of
the
jobs
advice,
that are driven
or
by that.
Excuse me, is the advice or the stance then to those that I'm talking about that have been left behind, they have to get new skills. Is that the bottom line?
That is the bottom line. I mean, that is, and that's not easy. And I'm not suggesting that it is. But when you have an economy that is growing strongly, when you have record employment, when you have record low unemployment, and banks and our tax reform, I think, was a big, big driver of that, at least you do have opportunities. We do have more job openings than we have jobs in America. And look, if you're a 50-year-old guy that was in a manufacturing company and they're no longer competitive and you're out of work, it's tough because there are jobs available, but finding one that paid what you used to make is the challenge, right?
Exactly.
And that is, there's no question, that is a challenge. But that was going to happen anyway, Dom, because of technology and automation. And the good news is, despite all of that, and now because we have record low unemployment, we're seeing wages growing. And we're seeing wages growing fastest for people at the low end of the income spectrum. So there are opportunities, there are jobs, and wages are rising. There are always some people being left behind, and I want to find ways to help those folks by all means. But for most people, these are good times.
All right. Well, Senator, thank you. Good luck tomorrow. Thanks for coming on and addressing all these things.
All right. Thanks for having me, Dom.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.